Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlatnik. Today it is my pleasure and a privilege to welcome Chris Miles. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, just dandy.
Chris is a very good friend. He is a brother from the Freedom Founders Mastermind. He's now a brother from the Collective Genius Mastermind. So we crossed paths many ways. Chris is an expert. He's a cash flow expert, and he is an anti-financial advisor. He's a leading authority teaching entrepreneurs and professionals how to quickly free up cash flow, create cash flow today, spending time doing what they love most instead of worrying about managing their money. Chris is a successful entrepreneur. He's got a great podcast called Chris Miles Money Show. Why such a wonderful name? Who is this celebrity, Chris Miles? And he's been featured on US News, CNN Money, and many other sources. Chris, thank you very much for coming on my podcast. I appreciate your time and your wisdom.
Hey, you bet, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity.
So could you talk a little bit, who is Chris? I know you have a lot of kids, more than I do. So you and you live in Salt Lake City, right?
I do. I live just south of Salt Lake City. And yep, we got 8 kids from a blended family. So there were 6 of my own and then 2 for my wife. So it's pretty obvious my wife loves me more.
Yeah, that's a great family to have. I have 4 kids and I call them 4 monkeys. I live with, you know, wife, 4 monkeys and a cat. And you got 8 of them. It's a zoo, I'm sure.
It is. Like, we can't even have animals because the animals wouldn't survive, you know?
That's right. I don't know how you manage. I barely manage 4, and managing 8 is a lot of work.
It's crazy.
It's great to hear. So let's talk a little bit about who you are on the business side. Just tell a little bit about what you do day in and day out. What's your expertise? You obviously have a great podcast, but beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, day in and day out. I mean, I really only work part-time doing what I do. I've actually been able to retire twice over the course of my years. You know, I started out 17 years ago being the traditional financial planner, you know, and doing that stuff. Did it for 4 years and realized that it doesn't work. Like, I ran the numbers any way possible, all the mutual funds, the typical stuff that everybody's telling you to do, the typical financial advice doesn't work. So 2006, I started doing the opposite. I started focusing more on creating cash flow and passive income. And I was able to retire back when I was 28 years old. And then went through a recession, which was fun because I cut off a lot of those income streams right before the recession hit. And so I went from millionaire to upside down millionaire and had to dig out of a $1 million debt hole. And I was able to retire once again, but much better and wiser in 2017. And now I just work like 10 or 20 hours a week. And I primarily focus on teaching people, one, how to create cash flow, how to improve their cash flow, but also create passive income and retire early. And we even use strategies like infinite banking, things like that, to accelerate what they're doing.
So thank you for sharing. It's great to retire. Nowadays, people don't call it retire. Now the word retire is associated with old folks. With all due respect, we're all getting older. And before you know, we're going to be in that category too. But retirement, I guess it's the word is really achieve financial independence. So you don't have to, you work because you like to, not because you have to.
Exactly. Yeah. It's getting that point where you say, hey, all right, I've got the streams of income coming in. Do I want to keep doing this or not? And I had to make that choice again in about December of 2017 when I realized, oh, I'm there. And once again, even though I had that huge debt hole to dig out of, and I did, but it was a pain in the butt. And so, yeah, it's great. I love it. Cause I mean, that's why I had to do my podcast, because it's that way for me to create a ripple effect. That's why I call my company Money Ripples. It's because I want to create that ripple effect through people's lives. Because I've seen, you know, hundreds of people free up, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a year or increase their cash flow that much. And I realized that I can just sit around and be comfortable. And I know, Mike, you can relate to this too. You can just sit around and just do your thing and just take care of your family, or you can include the family to be in the entire planet, you know, and really help people prosper too. And And that's kind of what drives me every day. That's what I do. That's what lights me up, you know?
I so much appreciate what you said. You're sharing the wealth of knowledge, the experience with strangers, and they become extended family. And that is a giving. That is sharing with others the best of what you know, and it comes around. So let's talk about some of the things that you are an expert with. Let's start with infinite banking. And I had another guest on the show in the past. He's a very good friend who is also infinite banking specialist, but I know this is your area of strength, so let's just kind of refresh folks. What is infinite banking? How does it work? Just a quick refresher course.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because infinite banking is different for everybody. Like even people that call themselves infinite bankers don't do it the same way. So simply put, infinite banking just means that we're able to become our own bank, right? Like we're able to, instead of having to leverage the bank, we can leverage our own money and be able to create more with that. So, you know, the tool we typically use is the whole life insurance policy, right? Where it has cash savings component, but it's really, the way I teach it, it's a tax-free supercharged savings account. So it's not just something that you buy for a death benefit. It's something that you can say, hey, I can leverage this cash that's in here, just like a savings account. It's just about as liquid, but it's tax-free. And unlike a bank savings account, it doesn't earn 0.0%. You know, you actually earn better returns and it's tax-free. So instead of, you know, earning 0.0% on your bank account and then getting taxed on that 0.0%, you can actually earn a much higher percentage and get the access. And then the death benefit's just a bonus.
That's a very interesting way to put it. I've thought about it in this manner, but you clarified it. It is a savings account that pays about 4.5% in today's environment, roughly, right?
Yeah.
And versus again 0.0% that the banks pay. Well, the rates have gone a little bit up now. You park your money for a 5-year CD probably at at 2.5%. I don't know if the insurance companies have yet adjusted what they're paying on the life insurance policies, but conceptually, mm-hmm. it's a high yield savings account that grows tax free. So from that perspective, yeah. And it's probably safe as part of your portfolio because these insurance companies, if you pick the right ones, their balance sheets and their strength is so high that money is never really at risk.
Yeah, it's guaranteed growth. It's not tied to the stock market, not at least the ones I use. I know other people use different types of insurance to do that, but I don't really recommend those. That's why I used to sell as the traditional financial advisor, right? But no, it's definitely safe. It's protected from lawsuits and creditors in most states. Some of them have 100% protection. So you could have millions of dollars in there and they can't get to it, you know, other than the IRS, because they can get to anything.
Death and taxes,
that's right.
Why is it called infinite banking? What is so infinite about it?
Yeah, there's a guy named Nelson Nash that came up with that concept who just passed away about 2 weeks ago. So he's kind of the father of infinite banking, you know. He called it that because really what it is, it's kind of like what people have done with their 401k sometimes, where they might borrow from their 401k and then they pay themselves back. It's very similar method, you know, a very similar strategy doing it that way. But it's infinite banking because now the money's, you know, coming out. You borrow the money out and then it goes back in. But if you look generationally, you look beyond you, like not only can you use it while you're alive, right? Where money can flow in and out. To give you an example, like say you pay off a credit card, a $10,000 credit card, it frees up, you know, say it's $300 a month, right? You can either pay that credit card company that, or you can now pay that money back to yourself, right? You know, and so it's kind of another way to access cash. In fact, I've had clients where we've said, hey, let's use the cash you have here, pay off some of these credit cards and we'll free up $500 a month. And then we just take that $500 a month, put it back into the policy to pay that back and make the money. And so it's what it allows you to do is instead of just withdrawing the money from the insurance savings account, what you can do, you can actually do a line of credit against it with the insurance company, like a private loan. It's like almost like a HELOC, right? You get this private line of credit with the insurance company where you borrow the money from them. And then you turn around and you basically just pay it back with principal and interest, you know, when you pay the payment back. And so as you pay yourself back, just like I did with a savings account back in 2007, right? I had a $25,000 savings account just sitting there doing nothing. And I went to the bank just out of curiosity and thought I'd try it out. I said, hey, can I borrow? Can I basically get a loan against this $25,000 savings account? And the bank said, absolutely, you're approved. It wasn't hard because they know worst case, they give you the loan for $25,000, you pull that cash out, they lock up your $25,000 in savings. So if you don't pay them, they just take the money out of the savings account. So they know that they have equity or they have access to it.
The best collateral for a loan is cash.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
They have your cash. That's the best collateral. So,
but the insurance company does it, but instead of just charging you interest, the cool thing is they pay you interest too. And so because of the interest that they're paying you, it actually makes more money than what they're charging you on the loan. And it's, in essence, when you do this with investing, which is the key thing I teach, rather than just, I don't tell people to pay off their houses using the strategy or buying cars using this, because I love leveraging the banks, especially when they're low interest. So I'll leverage the banks as much as possible, but for the money they won't lend, like for example, if I do a real estate deal, and say it's just the typical 20%, 80%, loan that you get, right? 80% you get from the bank, the 20% I borrow from the insurance company, and then I use that money to basically take the cash flow from that investment and use that to flow back in to pay for that down payment to rebuild it back up again. So that I can go and turn around and do it again. And I can do that as many times as I want.
Yeah, it's access to your own cash. It's access to the relatively cheap capital that you could use to make other investments. So that makes sense. So how do you layer that together with other financial planning elements? How do you layer this with what you do? How do you help folks build cash flow or create cash flow?
So I'm, like I said, I'm kind of an anti-financial advisor, right? Like I'm totally against everything I used to teach, 17 years ago. The big thing I try to go for now is how we leverage the money that's available that you don't even realize is there and create cash flow. So for example, I had a client, he's out in San Diego, and he's been a chiropractor out there, great saver and everything. And he was on track to, paying off his house as well as an investment property in about 5 years. And I said, okay, cool. Well, I'll free up about $4,400 a month when you do that finally, right? In the meantime, no cash flow, right? But I said, let's look at this differently. And so we looked at the situation. We said, well, actually, let's sell this investment property. Let's look at selling that because that would give you an extra 500 grand, actually about 400 and some odd, after you pay the realtor fees and whatnot, right? And then let's refinance your house. Let's pull some equity out of that and let's invest that money. And even though the payment, actually his monthly payments really don't go up a whole lot, but even though they do go up a little bit, the money we can leverage and use to create cash flow will net him about $75,000 extra a year starting in year one. And then that $75,000, of course, we can go and invest again and we create this kind of this compound exponential effect, right? And I told him, it's like, man, you can wait 5 years to free up $4,400 a month, or we can create over $6,000 a month net, in just this year. And that's the acceleration piece. Like I teach about acceleration, not just accumulation. And that's kind of the cool thing you have with your fund, Mike, because I mean, you've got the ability to create leverage there too. And when you throw in that whole insurance strategy on top of that, right? So not just funding the, like you already have the investment, but now if I can say, hey, I can borrow from my policy, make money in yours. And then as the money, the profits come from yours, I can use that back in my policy again. I can actually now create an extra net 3% return on top of the returns you're already making in your fund, And so
I agree with you. What's interesting is that I had a conversation with the potential investors who are thinking exactly arbitrage. They basically want to invest in our fund. And generate the delta between the distributions, not even counting the capital gains, not even counting the appreciation, just literally looking at distributions versus their borrowing cost and create a spread of, say, 4 or 5% on that. If they could do that, that creates cash flow out of nothing because they're sitting on assets that are not generating cash. This is a common problem across the board in both commercial real estate, appreciated real estate, and residential. It happens all the time as market, especially in the markets that appreciate quite a bit. And the banks will not refinance them more than X number of dollars because of the debt service coverage ratio. So the trick becomes how do you tap into equity? And the way you tap into equity is through some of these advanced techniques, essentially turn the non-cash flowing equity into cash flowing assets.
Exactly. And that's the key. I mean, if you have a HELOC that costs you $500 a month, but you can make $1,000 a month, hey, you've won. You know, heck, even if you made $600 a month, you win because you're profitable. And that's a key. And that's what I learned from being able to retire twice, is that it had nothing to do with how much assets I had stored up. In fact, net worth, in my opinion, is kind of worthless, because if it's not being put into, you know, production and cash flow, it really doesn't do anything for you. So it's, how do we take that net worth that you have, this latent potential in so many cases, and use that to free up and increase your cash flow?
Yeah, that's the big problem for folks with appreciated assets. Their net worth is a great figure, but the cash flow is light, and that problem continues to be, it's a good problem to have, but it's a problem that you need to solve. Not a problem as a bad thing, it's a problem as a good thing.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense. The other quick thing, just a quick question, because I you know, we did it with my wife, and my wife bought a life insurance policy that is used as a retirement plan. Mm-hmm. Do you ever come across that concept too? I never thought about it this way. And then it hit us. I bought that policy for my wife. It's called 20 pay. I think you know that mm-hmm. You pay for 20 years, and then 20 years down the road, when you reach a certain age, you can actually borrow against the policy, creating fairly significant annual income, because basically the money accumulates over years. You're not touching it, and you absolutely have access to the cash value of the policy.
That's
but
right.
At the same time, if you think about it, if you do it the right way, you can create sort of a pension plan through the same kind of concept, right?
You really can. Yeah. I mean, there's different strategies you can do depending on the phase of life you're in. For example, I have a dentist that I was working with that he's planning to sell his practice in about 2 to 3 years, only working it for a year. So he's going to be out within 4 years. So I showed him a plan where we max funded his insurance policy for 5 years. And then did a minimum funding for the other 5 years. So only a total of 10 years, right? And then it's done. It's paid up. It's guaranteed to keep growing from that point on. The cool thing is we compare that to just putting that money into like a savings account or even like an investment. And the cash flow difference was pretty big. I mean, it was the difference between him having about $10,000 a year using the typical mutual fund strategy versus about $25,000 a year using the life insurance.
Yeah, mutual funds are just, it's almost should be a forbidden word. I know you're anti-financial advisor. I have plenty of friends who are anti-Wall Street, and I certainly subscribe to the same camp that alternative investments that are strategy. The investments in alternative investments vehicles combined with a good plan can generate very strong cash flow and have pretty good downside protection. So the whole financial planning and alternative investments could generate much better cash flow, much better total return, mm-hmm. and not roll the dice of the Wall Street and avoid all these, enriching the pockets of big time money managers.
Right. So,
yeah, I'm in agreement for sure that it's the insurance, life insurance policy, infinite banking should be part of the plan. Most folks mm-hmm. Should consider that as a part of their portfolio. The way to think about this, again, just from my own experience, is I don't know what's the right number. For some people, it's a very large part of their portfolio, but they don't think of it this way. They think of it as a big savings account that they immediately use to borrow against and then make investments. So from that perspective, it's really a sort of a line of credit. You're advancing yourself money. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's the infinite banking component.
And that's where it really depends on the strategy. Because if somebody's more in that wealth accumulation, type of place where they're trying to build their assets to create that cash flow, that's where, doing like the other strategy where, like you were talking about doing more like a pension, which is a cool strategy to do. The other strategy is, how about we create acceleration? How do we start double dipping on these investment returns and get more cash moving? And I had somebody ask me that just last week. They said, all right, well, should I just put into this long term like this insurance guy told me to do, or should I you know, do it like you're saying, where you could use it in the first month after we put money in, we can pull it right back out and start utilizing it. And I said, it just depends. I mean, you could do that strategy. It's not like it's a bad one. It's actually a good one. But it's like, but, you know, based on the number of years you've got, like at least 10, 15, 20 years, you know, that we're trying to work on here, you know, hey, we can do a lot of good damage, because we can start in, instead of competing, that's the hard thing. Most insurance agents are trying to compete with your dollars. They're trying to either take your dollars and put into life insurance, or you have to compete to put those dollars into an investment. And that's always been the tug of war people have had when they've talked to me, when they've talked to other insurance guys. They're like, yeah, but, you know, if I put money here, then I can't use it there. It's like, no, if we can reduce the cost enough, which is the key thing that I do differently than anybody else, is that I create a very low cost, very cash rich policy. Well, then the money that you're already going to use to invest anyways, you flow it in there and then flow it back out and invest with it. And now you're getting cash flow from day one, and you're creating that leveraging power from the life insurance that you could maybe use down the road. Maybe you don't. Maybe you create a pension down the road with it. Maybe you just keep leveraging the heck out of it. You know, you've got options. That's the fun thing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The honest truth is that it's difficult to find an insurance agent who is not self-motivated.
Right.
Most of the guys, yeah, I know are motivated by the commissions they receive, unfortunately. So not most of the folks I know, but at least, you know, the few folks that I've interacted with. What you do is a little different, because your focus is to help them build this self-banking concept rather than sell them insurance policy that gets you, you know, a fat commission check. So it's a very different approach. It's an approach where you're not trying to sell them life insurance. You're trying to create self-banking. You're trying to educate them. You're adding value differently, not just but obviously, leverage works both ways. So when they borrow money and they invest something else, hopefully they'll make good investment choices.
That's right.
Because if they invest into, forgive me again, all those fans of the cryptocurrency invest in a Bitcoin, and the Bitcoin has a bad run.
Uh-huh. That's never happened.
Yeah, it never happens. You can wind up in a bad situation. But of course, if you take that money and invest into something investment great with that generates strong cash flow, you created arbitrage, you created additional cash flow out of thin air per se.
Definitely.
Absolutely. But it's not risk free. It's certainly this certain every arbitrage has some level of risk. The cost of money versus the what you're collecting on the money, are you collecting that? It's not completely risk free. It doesn't exist. But it, if it's a well understood, well mitigated risk, of course it'll make all the difference.
Yeah.
So let's switch the subject a little bit and talk. How do folks work with you? Like, how would they get a hold of you? How would you help them? What is your typical approach to working with somebody? You find a dentist or a doctor or a professional chiropractor or optometrist, and what do you do? I mean, how do you work with them? Just curious, what's your workflow? Just high level.
Yeah, I mean, very high level. Like, a lot of times I work with people. It's either on the insurance side and or on the game plan strategy side of helping them get to retirement faster, right? And I usually do that one-on-one. Like, I don't, I'm very much a big fan of that one-on-one thing. That's the thing that kind of lights me up and keeps me going. I always recommend people, if they want to learn more about stuff that I teach and get to know me better and see if I'm really a good fit for them, is check out my podcast, The Chris Miles Money Show. You know, check it out and listen to it and see if that's a good fit for you. Because that'll tell you right off the bat if you're going to like me or not. Because if not, then don't even bother reaching out, you know. it'd save us both time and energy if you don't. But definitely, that's a great way to do it. Or you can even check out my website, moneyripples.com.
Is that the best way to contact you? And where's the podcast? How do they find the podcast?
They can find it anywhere on iTunes, Stitcher, all those other podcast apps. I mean, you just look up the Chris Miles Money Show and it's there.
Easy to remember, Chris Miles. It's with an I, not Y, right?
That's right. Yep. Just like the distance.
That's right. Chris, I appreciate it. This has been very educational. Any final thoughts? We see each other often, so we'll chat about business and opportunities soon enough. But for the audience, any kind of final thoughts on the whole infinite banking? Is it better to just start with a policy and worry about designing a perfect policy? So people do layering. They get a policy done, get going, and then as they go through life, there are events that happen, life events. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. they go modify the policy, they buy another policy.
Right.
So what are your thoughts on this? Is it just good to get going, start, get a good whole life infinite banking policy and something that fits their situation today, and then possibly get another one in a few years, depending on how things flow?
Yeah, I have people do that all the time. It's really a matter of, I mean, one, I like talk to people because I want to see what their situation is and see what fits, because sometimes they want to do more than what I would recommend, right? I like to stay on the safer side and make sure that's going to work no matter what happens in life. So it's always good to kind of play with the numbers and see what's the best fit. And then, yeah, I've had people a few months down the road say, well, this is awesome. I've got more cash coming in. Let's do some more. And that's great too. But yeah, it's, I would just say this is that, you know, overall, I mean, everybody's situation is different. Everybody's got their own unique formula, their own unique way to invest. And that's the thing, is that it should be catered to you and your unique condition, not just cookie cutter, you know?
That makes sense. Personal approach sort of works best because we're all different, and different strokes for different folks. So
that's right.
Appreciate your wisdom. Appreciate you sharing. Thank you again. And once again, Chris Miles with Chris Miles, moneyripples.com. That's the website. And he's got a great Chris Miles Money Show podcast. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.